Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you all to see this part of God's kingdom. When we were in the class for ordination, I told Brother Sherwin that I think our ignorance of the broader Pilgrim Conference and having not been to hardly any other pilgrim churches should disqualify us. And he said, well, don't worry about that. If you're ordained, we'll take care of that. And so we're slowly starting to learn a few of the other congregations. There's a few of you that I know. Most of you I don't know. At least I don't think I know you, unless our paths would have crossed years ago. But that's beside the point. It's still good to be here to learn to know more of God's people in this part of God's world. And certainly welcome you all to the center of Missouri, to Jefferson City Church sometime. We're about 65 people or so on average in a smaller building than this even. So we like small country churches. It makes us feel more at home. So it's good to be here. You can open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. We want to look at an Old Testament character this morning and gain a few pointers from his example. Numbers chapter 14 is the middle of the story, and I want to read verse 24 out of the middle of the story here to as kind of a theme verse, an introduction to our thoughts this morning. So Numbers 14, 24, and this is Moses sharing God's word. So it's God's word. God's talking here about Caleb, and he says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. As with many of the characters in the Bible, we don't know a lot about them. We have little snippets of a little piece of their life, and we can learn something from them. And Caleb is a classic example of that. We see a picture of him here. We have a story of him here when he was 40 years old, and we have God's word about him here. And then we have, a little later, we have another story about Caleb, which was 45 years later. And so we have two stories about Caleb, and we have God's word about Caleb here. But I think we can learn a lot about him in this. I've titled the message, A Man with Another Spirit, taken here from verse 24, where he says, he had another spirit with him. And so a man with another spirit. And the word another simply means other or different from. And so he had a spirit that was different from all of the others. If you go back to the beginning of the story here, Numbers 13, the verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And so we're introduced to Caleb when God said, Moses, let's go send some spies out to spout the land. Pick one person from each tribe, and this was supposed to be a prominent man. He says they were supposed to be rulers, and they were supposed to be heads of their tribes. And so Caleb was apparently a fairly important man in his tribe. He was a ruler or a head of a family in his tribe, in the tribe of Judah. And so he says, you pick out one man from each tribe. And in verse 6, we have of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. And so he was from the tribe of Judah, a prominent man, a leader in the tribe, a head of the tribe, and he was chosen one of 12 to be in this little expedition into the land of Canaan. He was 40 years old. All 12 of these men were born in Egypt. This event was within a year or so after their exodus from Egypt. So all 12 had been born in Egypt. All 12 had witnessed the plagues. All 12 had experienced the deliverance from Egypt. They had experienced firsthand the Exodus. They had experienced the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. They had seen the destruction of the Egyptian army. All 12 of them were eating of the manna 3 meals a day. They had drank water from the rock that Moses had struck. All 12 had seen the same signs, all the same sights in the land of Egypt. In the land of Canaan on their excursion. But God says Caleb had a different spirit, another spirit, something that set him apart from the others. Let's read more of the story. Go to verse 17. And Moses sent them, Numbers 13, 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now let's jump to verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And now 36, a couple verses yet. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Twelve men sent into the land for 40 days. And so picture with me a little bit as they come back. I don't know if there was somebody watching for their return. I don't know that they were, that it was specified how many days they were supposed to be there. But somebody saw them coming back, and all the crowd, it says all the congregation gathered together with Moses and Aaron there, and they came back to give their report. Caleb had another spirit. What did that mean? How was that displayed in his life? Number one, Caleb was a man of strong faith. A man of strong faith. He trusted God despite opposition. He saw the same giants. He saw the same walled cities. He saw the same sights that all the other 11 had seen. Or maybe we should say the other 10. Because we know that Joshua also was following, or was gave a positive report like Caleb did. Although in this story here, Joshua is not mentioned very much. And so we're focusing on Caleb. But they had seen the same thing. But while the other 10 compared themselves to the enemy, Caleb contrasted them with God. The 10 walked by sight, not by faith. Caleb said, "We are well able," or we could say, "We can certainly do it." He said, "The Lord is with us. He will give it to us." But the people said, "They are stronger than we." And they were true. They were telling the truth. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, Deuteronomy chapter 9, a couple of verses here. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" And so they were correct when they said that this was a great people. This was mighty people. They are stronger than we are. And these sons of Anak, these giants, apparently it was a common knowledge. It says, who can stand before the children of Anak? And apparently they were well known enough, they were notorious enough, that we even have them named here in the story. In verse 22 of Numbers 13, we have them named. And later, we'll get to the other story a little bit later, where Caleb actually drove them out, and it mentions these three again. And so they were still living 45 years later, and Caleb drove them out, these three sons of Anak and their families. Now, we probably have never seen a giant like this. And I don't know what our response would be if we saw a family of giants like this. And these were very likely the ancestors of Goliath. And we know approximately how tall Goliath was, at least in cubits. But we often say he was probably 8 or 9, 10, maybe 10 feet tall, somewhere in that range. And so you've probably never seen anybody that tall. But if you saw a family of people that tall, it still wouldn't warrant to compare them yourself to a grasshopper beside them, would it? If that was true, if you were to do the math, if that was true, that means these giants would have to be over 150 feet tall. So I think it's safe to assume that they were not that tall, but they were big. They were exaggerating because of their fear. The tallest person living today is around 8 feet, 3 inches, something approximately there, somewhere over in Turkey. The tallest recorded person in modern history was 8 feet 11. He lived in Illinois in the early part of the 1900s, 8 feet 11. So that'd be about Goliath's size probably. I've never seen anybody that tall. I've never been felt threatened by somebody that much bigger than I am. So I don't know how I would respond. But we do face giants today in other areas of life. Giants of bad habits, giants of temptations, giants of selfish tendencies. Maybe the giant is a normal-sized person that you just have a hard time putting up with or getting along with. Maybe it's a decision that you have to make, a decision that's facing you. Anything that threatens you, anything that looks overwhelming, is a giant. And we're always going to lose if we focus on ourselves and on the giant, if we try to tackle it by ourselves. These 10 forgot all that God had done for them. They forgot about the deliverance from the Red, from the Egypt, and the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. They forgot about the destruction of the Egyptian army. All they were thinking about was these great walled cities and these giants, and they said, we can't do it. But Caleb said, we can do it because God is on our side. Victory is guaranteed if we focus on God, if we claim his promises and his presence for victory. And so the spirit that Caleb had was unwavering faith in God. Number two, Caleb stood strong despite negative influence and popular opinion. His position was definitely in the minority. It was not an evenly matched debate. It started out, it was 2 against 10, and then it became 2 against the whole congregation, the whole children of Israel here. But he stood on truth rather than on popular opinion. He didn't argue with the facts. What they said was true. There were giants there. There were great walled cities. They were stronger than them. He didn't argue with the facts. But he reminded them that it was a fruitful land. It was the land that God had promised them, and that God would help them to take possession of the land. He spoke what he believed in Joshua 14. And again, we're going to read more of this story later, but just picking out this verse, this is Caleb speaking. He says, I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Caleb spoke what he believed. He spoke from his conviction, and he spoke from faith. And we have a very apt picture here of human nature and how quickly negative thinking and majority opinion can spiral out of control. And so if you go back here to Numbers 13, the story, they came back, all the people are gathered together, they start to give their report, and they say, it's a great country. There's it flows with milk and honey, here's the fruit, here's what we brought back, it's a great country. But the people are strong, and there's these walled cities and the children of Anak and so forth. But it seems like they're still kind of, you know, okay, it's a great land, but yeah, there's a few problems here. And you can sense maybe the crowd is getting just a little restless. But Caleb says, we can do it. We can do it. But for some reason, that didn't work. Because in verse 31, they say, well, we can't go up against it. And then notice their report completely changes. So first of all, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that's giving. And now they say, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants. So now it's a land that eats us up. It's not a land that gives from milk and honey. And so their negativity, the unpopular or the popular opinion now has completely changed their story. And they exaggerate about the size of the giants. And then it gets worse. And they say, it had been better if we had just died in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's make a captain and let's go back to Egypt. That would be a lot better. But that wasn't the worst part of it. The worst part of it is they said, let's get rid of Caleb and Joshua. Let's kill our relatives here, our friends, our family. It says they bade stone them with stones. And I don't know what would have happened if the glory of God wouldn't have come down at that point, if they would have followed through with it or not. But that's what can happen when we allow negative influences and popular opinion to rule the day. How firmly are you rooted in God's truth? How easily are you swayed by popular opinion? As a subgroup of Christianity that emphasizes literal obedience to God's word, we're in the minority, very much so. We face pressures to blend in with society, pressures to compromise on positions that the Bible speaks clearly on. Things such as non-resistance, modesty, marriage between one man and one woman, the sanctity of human life from conception, and we could go on and on and on. There's a lot of Bible principles that Christianity as a whole has reneged on, but we hold firmly to. We sing the song, if no one joins me, still I will follow. Do we mean that? If no one joins me, still I will follow. If you're one against the multitude, are you going to stand like Caleb? No turning back, no turning back. The spirit that Caleb was filled with enabled him to stand firmly on truth no matter what. Number three. Caleb was a man of faith. I'm sorry. Caleb was a man of courage. Caleb was a man of courage. Courage is the ability to act in faith despite fear. And Caleb obviously demonstrated this in his life. He saw opportunities where others saw obstacles because he focused on God's power rather than on the size of the enemy. He didn't change his beliefs or his position even when threatened with stoning by his people. He believed what he could do what God wanted him to do. And even 45 years later, when he was what we would consider an old man, he was confident in God's strength, and he drove out the giants and conquered Hebron. And so to be a follower of God, we need courage to face adversity when standing for truth. There are many who will freely oppose the bearers of truth rather than submitting to God's will. It's easier to stone the messenger than to accept the message. The spirit that was with Caleb gave him the courage to stand with God. Number four, he followed God wholeheartedly. We saw that in the first verse we read, God speaking, where he says, "He hath followed me fully." Wholeheartedly is the opposite of half-heartedly, obviously, or indifference, lukewarmness. God's testimony was that he followed me fully, and that was when he was 40 years old. Now, if you go back to Joshua 14, is where we have the other story. Excuse me. And I'd like to read that now, a few verses here in Joshua 14. This is Caleb's testimony. Caleb's telling his story. And in these two stories that talk about Caleb, there's six times where it says, "He hath followed me fully," or "He wholly followed the Lord," some form of that. Six times. Three of them we'll read here. Joshua 14, verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war." Caleb's 85 years old here, 45 years after the first story. God had promised an inheritance in Canaan. Caleb had walked on that inheritance. He had been across the Jordan River. He had seen the land. He had seen the fruits and the abundance that the land produced. He had got to experience a little taste of this promise. But then he spent the next 45 years barred from that inheritance, wandering the land with the rest of the people. Not because of anything he had done. He couldn't experience the promised land because of the unbelief of his brethren. And it's interesting to note that here when he's recounting the story here, he calls them his brethren. He says, "My brethren that went up with me." These were the men that kept him from enjoying this inheritance that he was ready to claim. And that caused him to wander the wilderness for 45 years and endure the hardships and the unpleasantness of the wilderness for 45 years. But he still followed God wholeheartedly. His commitment to God was lifelong. It wasn't seasonal. He hadn't retired from following God. He wasn't discouraged that he had outlived the opportunities. Those 45 years could have looked quite long, and I'm sure they did look quite long. I'm sure they were long to him. And by the time he's 85, he could have said, well, it's too late now. I'm an old man. But he didn't. He was chomping at the bit. He says, give me this mountain. When he had the opportunity, he said, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago, and I'm ready to go take this mountain because God's going to help me. And he followed God to victory over the giants. He secured the promised land for him and his descendants. And in verse 14 that we just read, it says, Hebron, which was the home city of these giants, became his inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He received the inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel all of these years. Have you ever waited 45 years for something? I don't know you, but I'm going to make the guess that that probably a high percentage of you haven't even lived 45 years yet. How quick am I to give up? To begin to doubt God when things don't go my way. Most of us don't do well with waiting patiently. We want things now. We want things instantly. We live in a world of instant. Buy it now. We like it now. And we wish God came with a buy it now button, don't we? I want an answer. I want this in my way. I want to do this. And I want it now. We want our problem solved now. We want that giant slain immediately. Caleb trudged around the wilderness for 45 years and didn't lose trust in God. 2 Peter in 2 Peter 1, verse 5, talks about the exceeding great and precious promises that God has given to us. And we could spend quite a while enumerating these promises, things such as, with God all things are possible. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will make a way to escape. These promises and all of the other promises that God has given to us are to anybody who's willing to wholeheartedly follow God. If you're not willing to wholeheartedly follow God, even when you don't know where God's leading or what God's leading is, you have no right to claim these promises. I have no right to claim these promises. Are we content to follow wherever and however God leads? Can we trust in his timing even if it would take 45 years? Is our confidence for the future in God, the one who enables us to do whatever he asks us to do for him? Caleb, a man with another spirit. He had the spirit of faith, the spirit of truth, the spirit of courage. Truly, he had the spirit of God. And whether it was courageously standing for truth against his friends and family, or whether it was living in the wilderness for 45 years, or whether it was attacking the sons of Anak finally and driving them out, he wholly followed the Lord God. What spirit is with you today? What spirit is with me today? There are giants today, giants of fear, giants of doubt, giants of lust, giants of pride. There's naysayers, there's negative influences, there's opportunities to compromise. There's mountains to conquer. Having a different spirit means we'll be men and women of conviction. We'll stand up and stand firm on all the Bible says, no matter how unpopular it might be. We'll wholeheartedly follow the Lord. In Revelation, speaking to the angels of the churches, the angel of Laodicea, their problem was that they were lukewarm. They weren't wholehearted. And God said he hates the lukewarmness. He'd rather that they were either hot or cold. God hates half-heartedness. We need to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. God has promised victory. He has a promised land prepared for each one who is faithfully following him to the end. And so let's claim the promises of God. Let's stand on truth with conviction and with firmness and wholeheartedly follow God. and then we can be assured of victory, and we can look forward to a promised land that we haven't actually seen. Caleb saw the promised land before he got there. We haven't seen the promised land. We have little glimpses of it from what the Bible tells us, but very limited. But we have a promised land that we can look forward to if we're wholeheartedly following God today.